We're on to the home stretch of the afternoon with an overview of EM Technologies. Melissa.
Thank you. So my name is Melissa Hooper. I'm a fishery policy analyst at the regional office. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit today about some electronic technology activities in the Northeast. As you know, we have a workshop coming up in 2 weeks to discuss plans for electronic monitoring in Northeast fisheries. We have several projects going on in the region and at NOAA to modernize our data collections and develop electronic technology tools. These efforts, as well as many others, overlapped and will eventually intersect with efforts to implement EM and EVTR, but they won't be the specific focus of the workshop, so I just wanted to provide you some context for the workshop today. We have some national electronic technology efforts that are in progress to advance electronic technologies development in general from the national level. We also have some regional data modernization projects underway, as well as individual projects to advance electronic technologies in the region. And electronic monitoring kind of falls in the middle of all of these and overlaps with them. So I wanted to update you on these broader efforts to provide some context for the discussions that will take place at the workshop and afterwards on EM. The workshop steering committee also wanted to use this time to get input from the council and others in the audience on potential goals for EM in Northeast fisheries in preparation for the workshop, so I'll do that as well. So when we're talking about electronic technologies, what exactly are we talking about? It's really any tool that's used to support catch monitoring efforts, both onshore and at sea, including electronic reporting, such as logbooks, tablets, and apps, and electronic monitoring, such as VMS, video cameras, and sensors. As you heard earlier, demands for more precise, timelier, and more comprehensive fishery-dependent data are straining our existing systems and budgets. Electronic technologies are being explored to provide more timely, cost-efficient data collection to meet the needs of science and management. NIMS issued a policy in May of 2013 to encourage the consideration of all electronic technology options to meet science, management, and compliance data needs. It encourages the use of open-source code or standards for cost savings they can provide. And also emphasize that new electronic technology programs need to identify funding sources and explore all options for funding. It also required that each region develop a regional implementation plan by the end of 2014, specifying when and how electronic technologies will be implemented for data collection. We are going to be working on this this year, and we'll be reaching out to the councils and public soon with some more information. NIMS has also developed some electronic technology resources, including a guidance and best practices document for electronic monitoring and electronic reporting that can be used by regional offices, councils, and other stakeholders when considering electronic technologies for fisheries monitoring. And NIMS headquarters also prepared some EMER white papers that I think have been available for a while. That considered sort of the existing information that we know about the technologies and some discussed some of the implementation issues. Headquarters has also been working on coordinating priorities for research into electronic monitoring, electronic reporting, and funding sources for that research and further development and implementation. And at the bottom of the slide, I've included the URL for the headquarters website where you can find some of these documents. So moving down to the regional level, we have been conducting a comprehensive end-to-end data review of our data systems in the Northeast. We've begun looking at how we can modernize them to make them more efficient and effective. These projects are broader than just electronic technologies, but ET will have a place in them and in the future of our data collection systems. So one of these projects that you've probably heard about is the Fishery Dependent Data Visioning Project. This is a joint project between the Regional Office, the Science Center, and GMRI. The project leads are Doug Crystal from SFD, Holly McBride from the Science Center Data Management Branch, and Jonathan Peros from GMRI. The purpose of this project is to identify the data needs and requirements in the region and match them to the right data collection tools. So phase one of this project was evaluating the fishery-dependent data needs throughout the region from all different constituents. And this included the Southeast region as well, with which we share some data collection systems. Holly and Doug have interviewed 120 people from the regional offices, science centers, all states, both councils, the Atlantic and Gulf commissions, and some NGOs. And Jonathan has interviewed over 35 fishermen, dealers, and sector managers and other industry representatives about their data needs and desires for data collection systems. So far, their interviews have been suggesting moving toward electronic technologies and integrating data systems. Phase two will map current systems and compare that with the uses and needs identified in phase one. It will also identify redundancies or where current systems do not meet those needs, and identify changes or tools that would meet the needs efficiently and effectively, and that may include evaluating some electronic technologies. Doug Crystal presented their preliminary results at the recent MFIM workshop, and Holly McBride will be sharing some of the insights they have gained at the EM workshop in a couple of weeks. So another project we have going on is a fishery-dependent data collections working group. This is another effort to modernize and make more efficient our data collection systems. It's a joint team between the regional office and Science Center and includes some ad hoc external members as needed, such as staff from ACCSP, with which we work on for data collection, dealer data collection. This group works through the implementation of changes to data collections, troubleshooting and improvements to our existing fishery-dependent data collections and systems. For example, if a PDT is developing a potential management measure for the council, the NIMS PDT members would take that potential management measure to the FDC to help identify some of the implementation needs and issues and bring that back to the PDT. The FDDC also provides advice to inform the agency's position regarding new management initiatives, our ability to support them, and the associated likely risks and timing of implementation. This group is looking at how EM and other ET could be integrated into our current systems and where complications may arise and how those complications could be addressed. Many of the FDDC members will be participating at the EM workshop and will bring their expertise to discussions we will have there. Eventually, the visioning project and FDDC will intersect and work on developing a bridge from our existing systems to the modernized system envisioned by the FDDBP, the visioning project. So we've also been working on developing electronic vessel trip reports to talk about some specific tools. We've developed standards for EVTRs, and now all Greater Atlantic Region permitted fishing vessels are authorized to use EVTRs to meet their VTR reporting requirements. The reporting program is administered by the regional office. They've developed the technical requirements that are frequently updated and are posted on our website. EVTR right now is an onboard reporting system that's filled out using computer software on the vessel and can be submitted via VMS immediately or later uploaded or emailed. I think there's been some misconceptions that EVTR is a web-based form, but it's not at this time. It's an onboard software. EVTR right now is simply an electronic adaptation of the existing VTR reporting requirements, and the report is accepted at either the sub-trip level or the haul-by-haul level, although the haul-by-haul level is not required for VTR reporting purposes. Two onboard systems have been approved so far. There's the Flounder system developed by the Science Center for the study fleet and the FACS system developed by Electric Edge Systems Group. And as I understand it, there's another program that's under review now that was just recently submitted. The Science Center also has been working to expand the use of flounders by some mid-Atlantic fisheries and is installing new equipment on some scallop, monkfish, and butterfish vessels. And I just wanted to note that most people don't really think about it, but VMS is another electronic technologies tool that we've been using for quite some time in the Northeast, but is actually being considered in other parts of the country where it's not currently in use. Specific to EM, we shared a vision statement for electronic monitoring with the councils last spring, in which we affirmed our commitment to implementing EM in Northeast fisheries and laid out two areas of promise. The first was using electronic monitoring to monitor compliance in a full retention system. And the second was to use EM as an audit tool to verify industry-reported data, which may also require the use of electronic vessel trip reports or consider that use. It also laid out the next steps, including evaluating these two approaches to determine whether they can produce the required data in a cost-effective manner. The center has been testing these two approaches along with Archipelago Marine Research Limited for applicability specifically in the groundfish sector fishery. There have been three phases of research since 2010. The first had the main objective of just building capacity, getting vessel operators and others familiar with the equipment, and conducting an initial comparison with at-sea monitoring data. The second phase, which took place in 2011-2012, I believe, explored the methods to estimate weight and species ID from the video and tested a couple of different approaches for this. And the most recent phase, phase three, was tested this past summer, and that was tested the two approaches that were identified as the most promising and worked on developing the protocols and standards for these, including a notification process to facilitate hard drive retrievals and documentation of dockside discards in the case of the maximized retention method, catch handling methodologies for crew to facilitate EM review, trip annotation protocols for video reviewers, and a feedback loop between reviewers and vessels to improve data quality. The results are currently being written up now, and Amy Martins from the Observer Program and Archipelago will be talking about the results of this at the workshop in a couple of weeks. So as you can see, a lot of work has been done to develop the at-sea methodology for using electronic monitoring, especially in groundfish. But we really need to take the next step to flesh out the rest of the program that would support its use on the water. One of the key lessons that we learned from participating in the national workshop this past January was that the success of implementation of EM depends on collaboration and commitment from all stakeholders. So we and the workshop steering committee members wanted to provide a forum where that collaboration on EM can take place. And so we developed this workshop, which we'll be having in a couple of weeks, with a specific goal of building off the lessons learned from the national workshop to explore specifically how EM could be implemented in New England fisheries. We also wanted to build a broader awareness of EM technologies among New England stakeholders and identify some clear goals for EM as a component of a modern data collection system, as well as specifically monitoring programs in certain fisheries. And we wanted to try to identify some of the key implementation challenges and see if we could develop some specific recommendations for the council and NOAA to consider in implementation. So with that in mind, the steering committee developed some draft, some straw man goals for electronic monitoring use in certain candidate fisheries. We'll spend some time on the first day of the workshop discussing these goals. So we've been shopping these around to the APs for the herring, groundfish, and scallop fisheries over the last month or two. And we've zeroed in on these three fisheries because that's where we've heard interest from some participants in using electronic monitoring to meet their monitoring needs. And I think the groundfish AP and herring AP have weighed in so far, although I haven't had a chance to talk with Jamie about what the herring AP had to say about it. So generally, what we've been proposing is that what some of the goals for groundfish might be based on sector monitoring is if you need to validate total catch and effort information, then EM could be used to validate self-reported discard information or to document compliance with maximized retention. In the herring fishery, the need for monitoring might be total catch and bycatch information of herring, as well as haddock or other river herring or other species that are caught, or perhaps could be used to monitor compliance with slippage limits or slippage requirements. So in this case, EM might be used to document and facilitate enforcement of slippage restrictions. And or document the compliance with a maximized retention system so that the documentation of any bycatch can be done at the dock. For the scallop fishery, we thought that some of the objectives for monitoring were the need to determine total bycatch of flatfish and protected species. So in that scenario, you might envision that electronic monitoring could be used to validate self-reported discard information that's reported by the captain on his flatfish bycatch. Or it could be used to document compliance with maximized retention of flatfish so that that documentation and enumeration can actually happen at the dock. So I'm bringing these up because we're interested in hearing input from the council and others, folks today, or between now and the workshop, as to whether these reflect your goals for electronic monitoring in these different fisheries, or if there's other fisheries that you're interested in using EM for that we haven't thought about, or if there's other goals that we haven't listed here that you have. So we can talk about some of those now, or you can get in touch with me after, or Jeff Smith at the Nature Conservancy, or Jamie, who's plugged into our process as well. Or just think about them, and we can talk about them more at the workshop. And finally, I just wanted to provide some point of contact information for folks you can reach out to get more information on these different projects, and as well as the websites where there's more information available.
Thank you for your presentation, Melissa.
Sure.
Tom? Terry? Tom?
Mr. Chairman, just with respect to, I think, Melissa's last slide about goals. Seeing as how each fishery may have a different approach for goals, I'm not sure whether it would really be productive to get into a lengthy discussion of each fishery here about goals. Maybe the thing to do is to somehow have this discussion at the committee level as this goes forward. And that might actually be informed a little bit by the workshop next week. We have a number of council members who are attending. I'm not sure we have one from every committee, but we have a broad base.
Terry.
Yeah, I was just curious. We have a lot of history of putting electronic monitoring on gillnet and hook boats. Where are we with trawlers right now? I've only heard of a couple, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, so the center's project had some trawl vessels participate, I think, in all 3 years, all three phases of the study. So we do have some sample size for that, although it's really just like a couple of vessels and a not too many trips. And then GMRI also has a project going with, I think, some trawl vessels and gillnet vessels. So there will be some additional information available there, too.
Tom.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, Melissa. It's helpful to see this all laid out as you have it. On your slide with regards to the EM pilot that you're doing, it says that final reports are under development. Will those final reports include specific guidance to outline what sectors need to have in their ops plan if they're going to move forward and develop EM as a component of their accountability plan?
So I've looked at the requirements for the final reports and been reviewing some of the early drafts, and I think what it may not like list out like a checklist for sectors, you know, say this, but it does have sort of the components of an EM program, you know, based on what has been tested in the pilot as well as what's been applied elsewhere. Archipelago's brought a lot of their expertise from other fisheries they've worked with. So, the components might be more broad, but there will be information that they've been able to develop from the study about, you know, some catch handling protocols and things that could be used in the sector ops plans in that way.
Just a follow-up. Is it then the agency's plan on some timeline to take that report and turn that into specific guidelines that sectors could respond, react to, and actually use so that we could get, you know, one of the, a sector through the approval process using EM on boats? Maybe not all different types of boats, maybe some, and certainly voluntary, but is that the plan, and has the timeline been discussed for taking that report that sort of sketches out the components and actually providing something that sectors could work from?
So the center study really focused on sort of the at-sea protocols and some of the onshore data retrievals, catch handling, and some of the data review. But there's also a lot of other components that go into a comprehensive, like, program, monitoring program that uses EM. So there's things like data confidentiality issues that the center's project didn't address, but, you know, highlights as some, these are some of the things to think about or questions to address. So it's the starting point for sure and provides us a lot of information about, you know, the specific day-to-day operations for the vessels and for the providers and maybe also for NIMS. But then it'll be the start. And then following that and following this workshop in a couple of weeks, we'll need to spec out the rest of that process and how the data will be used and everything. I don't have a timeline now, but.
Just one last follow-up, but you do, that is, the agency sort of perceives that to be their responsibility and the critical next step in translating all the pilots that have been going on for however long and all the discussions about this into actionable sort of work to get these things approved through the sector ops plan, with in groundfish specifically.
Yeah, so there, you know, NIMS will have some specific responsibilities, some things that only we can do, rulemaking, reg changes, in order to accommodate it, the performance standards, things like that. But I think the point of the workshop is that there are other components of the program that other stakeholders, including the council, can help us flesh out and develop. And so, you know, it'll take work on our part to do that, but it'll also take work from our partners as well to piece all of this together and come up with an operational program.
Mike.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I do think that it is important that the agency make an investment in advancing these technologies for the future. They're certainly becoming increasingly important in every setting I know of. But I also think it's a little unclear to me whether they're being envisioned in terms of this survey of what people's needs are as compliance monitoring tools or as scientific data. And in part, that it sounds like they're often being used to validate or to somehow compare to logbooks, which right now, unless things have changed dramatically, many of them basically don't record discards. So it's not a matter of validating. It's basically encouraging that they start to record, I guess. But that then brings up all sorts of issues about essentially the integration of the logbook data with the dealer reporting data, which has historically been a problem because of the lack of unique identifiers and those sort of things. Have those problems been sorted out at this stage?
With the lack of discard reporting on the...
Well, no. I mean, historically, there's been a problem because there were not, and I don't know whether this has been corrected, Wendy probably does or Bill does, unique identifiers between the vessel logbooks and the trip reports. And presumably, if we're going to start to encourage more accurate reporting in the vessel logbooks, you would want to streamline the process of integrating that with dealer reports. So I'm wondering where that's
the trip stands. Definition question, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, I think, under discussion for a long time, even before I've been here. There is a subgroup of the Fishery Dependent Data Collections Working Group, this internal working group that is working on how we can better integrate and match this information from these different data sources. And one of the preliminary results from the visioning project is that they're finding from the interviews is that this is a critical component that all data users are interested in seeing is this better integration of data systems. And so it certainly makes things easier when they're built integrated, but when things aren't built integrated and then you have to integrate them after the fact, it's a bit more work. And so what we will have to work on is figuring out how we go from our existing systems to a more integrated system that either comes out of the visioning project, but even on a smaller level, just for electronic monitoring, how to better integrate that. So that will have to be a component of the implementation design process.
As I recall, this was a known problem in 1996 when I returned from Washington, D.C. to the center. And if the electronic monitoring part of it actually gives us the impetus to solve it, then it will have been worth it in and of itself for that reason, but I certainly encourage that this move ahead.
Other questions or comments? For Ellen.
Melissa, I was wondering if you have talked to the study fleet participants about how the EVTR that they are using and the system that they're using is has been working for them. I know some of them have been on there for over a decade, or close to a decade, and I know from personal experience that there are definite problems with the system.
I haven't personally talked to, well, I have used Flanders in the past, and I haven't talked to any of the study fleet vessels, but the part of the challenge with the FLDRS system is that it was designed specifically for study fleet, and what we've essentially done is approved it so that people who are using it for study fleet can also use it to satisfy the VTR reporting requirements, so they're not having to do both. But it wasn't necessarily designed for EVTR. But like the FACT system, I think, was designed more specifically for that, and now providers are starting to develop systems specifically for EVTR, which might be better suited to that use.
Vincent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ellen, I can answer that question. I've been using Flanders for EVTR since 2010, and where I find it doesn't work very well is trying to report through the VMS, through my SkyMate. Okay, that's where I've had a little bit of issues. But if I just go home and upload it from my my own Wi-Fi, it's not an issue. And actually, I find it easier. I find it easier than using the written logbooks, and I can correct mistakes easier also. So I would speak very highly of it. I've used it since April of 2010, and I've had great success with it.
Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to comment and update the Council on the Kunamezid Farm Foundation electronic monitoring program for the scallop fleet. In 2010, we had a scallop RSA project, and we developed software by contracting through the Atlantic Offshore Lobstermen with ORAC Incorporated in South Africa to develop a custom-tailored software for the scallop fleet. It's a complete package that records all the data position, data on position and operating parameters, on environmental parameters, and allows for entry of complete catch data for each side. And in 2012, we continued the project with Scallop RSA, and we've improved the hardware and the software, and we have it on 12 vessels. Six are currently reporting, and we've trained about two dozen crews on how to do complete data collection. Right now, we're only collecting scallop catch per side and yellowtail. And then working with John Hoey in the Science Center, we have a contract with through the Pacific States Marine Fish Commission where we put the 24 systems using the flounders on scallop vessels in the mid-Atlantic. And there are a lot of issues with the flounder software. We have systems crashing and what have you. The ORAC system data goes straight from the vessel to a server at the farm. It has no contact with the federal government, and so it's a complete industry-based system. The flounder system, the way we're hoping it to work, again, it doesn't allow the catch to be separated by port or starboard dredge. It has to be combined. And the way we're doing it is trip-by-trip reporting, I mean tow-by-tow reporting as opposed to a trip level. And apparently because, you know, once you start reaching 100 tows, 150 tows, the system crashes and we're losing the data. So we have that problem. When the vessel comes in, the EVTR could be transmitted via cell line, and we have a contract with Rutgers to go to each vessel and put a thumb drive in and collect a complete set of data that gets transmitted directly to our farm server. We are also looking at some new instruments with John Hoey, data loggers on the scallop dredges, so every time the dredge comes up, it's recording bottom temperature, and it dumps the temperature automatically through a Wi-Fi link to the vessel computer and transmit it to shore. So each scallop vessel now will be providing a bottom temperature. We're working with a Canadian company. We're going to have two systems on some scallop boats that are wireless communication between the dredge and the vessel. And we could transmit, again, a number of parameters from the dredge to the vessel and then put it into our system and transmit the data ashore. It's very complicated, lots of software issues, lots of hardware issues, but our plan ultimately is have the crews understand that it's a part of their job to collect the scientific data. It's not fishery independent, obviously, it's fishery dependent, but we're hoping that that's the way that ultimately we'll be able to get good scientific data from the fleet. So that's just a brief summary of what we're doing.
Thanks for that, Ron. Are there any other questions or comments for Melissa? Well, thank you. Good luck at your workshop, and we'll be looking forward to your next report.